Good afternoon. It is 3 o'clock on Thursday, February 25th. And today we're going to talk about the formal report for the multi-step reaction and what we need to do there. So let's start a screen share. And we'll look at the multi-step formal report and all the parts that need to happen for that. So first off, we've got the overall reaction that we did. We've got benzaldehyde. That was converted into benzoin. Benzoin was then oxidized into benzyl. And benzyl was converted into benzylic acid. And this was done with thiamine. HNO3 and KOH. So those each of our three reactions that we did. And so the parts of the report, we'll just go through each part of the report and what to focus on and what to look at. So in the abstract, the job of the abstract is to tell what was done and what was found. And you have a lot of results in this in a multi-step. When you start to get into a multi-step reaction or something that's really big like this, the abstract can sometimes get long and you don't want it to get more than a paragraph. So you still want to keep the abstract at a paragraph. So what I would do, and I'll kick it off for you. I won't finish it. I'm going to say something like benzylic acid was synthesized in three steps from benzaldehyde. In a multi-step reaction. You could go on and you could say that you could treat each reaction individually. You could say that starting from benzaldehyde, or you could say that benzaldehyde was reacted with thiamine hydrochloride to produce benzoin. You would continue this. I'll just say it in words rather than writing it all out for you to give you an idea. So benzaldehyde was reacted with thiamine hydrochloride to produce benzoin. Benzoin was then oxidized to produce benzyl. And finally, benzyl was reacted under base catalysis with potassium hydroxide to afford benzylic acid. Benzylic acid was isolated as a white crystalline solid with an overall percent yield of 5%, whatever it is. Spectroscopy and melting points for each product were analyzed and found to be consistent with literature values. And then I would move on from there. So the abstract doesn't need to have all of the results, just you can sort of think about the summarized critical results that need to be in there, and the rest of the results will be dealt with within the paper. So that's what I would do, is just hit the main parts of the number of steps, the products that it goes through, the overall yield that you have, a characterization of this product itself, and then a statement that says each product was analyzed by melting point and FTIR and found to be consistent with literature values. Unless it's not, unless we mess up someplace, and then that statement wouldn't hold, but that's what I would envision doing. The introduction. The introduction is to, the job there is to set the stage, to talk about the prior work and the focus of the work, to stimulate interest. So we say, what is important? What is the focus of the work? That's what we're trying to do with this. And so what I would say is to try to focus on the fact that the need for multi-step synthesis to make complicated molecules as an example. What I might do is I might focus on something like Taxol. Take a look at Taxol and look it up. Taxol is a drug that was the first chemotherapy drug, the first anti-cancer drug. You can read about Taxol online, you can use Wikipedia, you can use whatever sources you can find online to look at Taxol. The reason Taxol is important is because Taxol was isolated from the bark of a yew tree. What they did is they were looking at different organic molecules and testing them against cancer strains to see if any of those molecules had what we call biological activity. And they got a hit on these extracts from the yew tree. And when they isolated it and they boiled it down and they figured out what it was a drug, a compound that was produced in the yew tree. I'm not really sure what its purpose for is for in the yew tree, but it's a cytotoxic compound. It probably protects the tree from insects and other things that would normally chew on that bark. And yet it has great biological activity against cancer. And so, in order to turn that into a drug, it was isolated from the tree, but it's a very complicated macrocyclic molecule. It's very large and very complicated to synthesize. The only way that they could take it through clinical trials was to isolate the bark from tens of thousands of yew trees. And then they processed that bark, isolated out just this compound, and that's what they took through and did clinical trials with, evidenced that it worked, that it had great efficacy. And then they could not possibly grow enough yew trees to be able to use this as an actual drug, a medication for the number of people that would need to be treated with it. And so they needed to synthesize it. And so a synthesis was developed to produce it. And I think it's somewhere in the 27 to 29 steps to actually go through and make this drug. But the force that it took to go and do that, I mean, it just illustrates the need to be able to synthesize something, because some of these molecules and drugs that we would want to make, we cannot just isolate from nature. There's not physically enough of it to be able to isolate it. And we need to learn how to make drugs and be able to make molecules. So that's where this comes from. And then the last paragraph, is what we call the non-technical overview. So you go through that need for multi-step. You talk maybe about Taxol or some other drug. You could look up another drug if you wanted to, that is a large drug that takes many, many steps to make. You can make the case that multi-step synthesis is incredibly important. And so it is not the importance of any one of these molecules, benzylic acid, benzyl, benzoin. These are not interesting molecules. They are not of any value. So the value is not in this process. It's not in the reactions. It's in the concept of stringing together multiple reactions in order to make a product of value. That's what this project is all about, really. So in the non-technical overview, what we need to do is we need to get away from the molecules that we've been talking about to highlight the importance of doing multiple steps and a total synthesis. That's the other, that is not what I wanted to do. That's the other catchphrase here, is multi-step sort of equals total synthesis, which means to totally synthesize a molecule from scratch. And it's that total synthesis, that concept that we need to get back away from, and we need to get back into what we are going to talk about, which is our molecules and our synthesis. So the non-technical overview goes into more detail than the abstract does, but still is not giving you temperatures, reaction times. It's restating what this work is going to present. So that's what that last part of the introduction is. And then from there, we go into the methods and materials. Okay, in the methods and materials, the first thing that I like to do is the materials list. So this is all the chemicals. And equipment. I should say, rather than equipment, it really should be instrumentation. These are our analytical tools. This would be your melting point, your melt temps, digital thermometer. The IR. And even the IR software. So that somebody seeking to reproduce your work would have all of the specs that they could look up on your equipment to compare to. So that's the materials and equipment list. And then we go into the methods. You would have reaction one. Usually when you do it this way, what you list is you list benzoin. And then, let me see, how do we do it? I don't have a good paper in front of me. Usually there's a list that tells you what it is, the molecule that you're synthesizing, and what this step is going to be. And then you have the paragraph that sort of introduces that method. So we could say maybe benzoin, and we would start off and we would say benzaldehyde. (0.9 milliliters). This might be 1.01 grams, X number of millimoles. Was added to a 5 milliliter Erlenmeyer flask. Except it's not exactly the order that we started in, is it? With that reaction, we actually took the thiamine hydrochloride, weighed it, added water, added ethanol, added the base, teared it, then added the benzaldehyde. So let's swap this out. We'll make it right. I don't want to lead you in the wrong direction. Thiamine hydrochloride. (0.30 grams) X millimoles was added to a 25 milliliter Erlenmeyer flask. Dissolved in 0.45 milliliters of water. And then ethanol, 95%. I think we added like 3 milliliters. Was added. And then (0.9 milliliters) of 2 molar aqueous sodium hydroxide. Okay, something like that. We just keep going. at the end, you have that statement that tells you that you get benzoin. We have the number of grams. We have the number of millimoles. We have the percent. We have the melting point. We have the FTIR wavelengths. I have the way to write it out. You guys have seen that. You did it last time. So we have that at the end of each thing. So you would do benzoin. You would do another one for benzyl. You would do another one for benzylic acid. To rough that all out. That completes out your methods and materials. You then go into the results section.
Jason, just to stop you real quick, I had a question. So for the methods part, like I know I listed a few deviations for the last report, but other than that, I just referenced Pavia.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. So this is just for like more completeness of knowing, like when we do our own deviate, like full deviations from Pavia, what to write out, right?
No, I would say that I know that you guys are busy and that you guys are doing a whole ton of stuff. It is excellent practice to take what is done in Pavia and to write this out in paragraph form. Knowing how to write a procedure like this allows you to more easily learn how to write procedures out in your laboratory notebook, to take written procedures and to boil them down into something that's short and easy to handle. So I think this is a good idea always to do. Okay. But I have also always allowed you to just say the procedure in Pavia was followed without modification and get away with that.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah.
I just think that this is important. I think this is good to do.
Okay.
All right, they're banished. Okay, so the results section then. When we move from here, we move into the results section. There's a lot of flexibility in how the results section can be structured.
I think it froze.
It may have. We'll just stop it and restart it. Thank you. Okay, so this is just one idea of how this could be done. One idea is to construct a table that would have benzoin. We could look at the melting points. We could look at the percent yield. We could look at FTIR. And we can look at characterization. Oh, the gardeners must be here. That must be what they're freaking out about. That's great. It'll be a solid freak out for the next hour. It's always wonderful to listen to on a recording. It's not so bad when you're live, but then on the recording, it's like, oh, enough already. Okay, so what we're going to have is melting points that are going to be a range, a yield that will be here. FTIR, that for this one, I'm not going to give you the actual numbers. I'm just going to get close. So I'm going to make up numbers that I think are sort of our important numbers. And for characterizations for these, the 3400 is the hydroxyl. and the or alcohol. You could say hydroxyl or alcohol. I like hydroxyl better than I like alcohol. And then the 1680 is the ketone. So those are sort of like your representative important IR peaks that define the new functional groups that are in this molecule that we've created. You go to benzyl and you do the same thing. So in benzyl, you're going to have your melting point, which is going to be a range. You're going to have your percent yield. You're going to have the peaks here that are like 1690 and maybe 1660. And these might be, again, the ketone and then the carbon-carbon double bond and alkene that we have in that one. And then benzoic acid. Likewise, it's going to have its melting point, its percent. You're going to get like a 3,500 reciprocal centimeters. You're going to get a 3,400 that's broad. You're going to get a 1690-ish. All right, time out. I can't take it anymore. I'll be right back. He's just distraught. No, if you're going to bark in here, you're going to be in real trouble. All right, we'll see how this goes. This may not work. There's all kinds of things when you're teaching from home that you never even think about, right? It's not even like you're just in the classroom and you can be all professional. It's just, stop it. We have this conversation every week. They come every week. They come every week and they take his grass. And he is just distraught that it takes his grass. Okay. I have one other option that I can try with them that that might work. All right, benzoic acid, the 3,500, this is the hydroxyl. And then we, Finn, dude, just chill out. We have the hydroxyl, we have the carboxylic acid. And then we have the carbonyl. And the carbonyl is the carbonyl to the carboxylic acid. So, and then the other thing that I would throw into this is I would throw in a bottom line that says overall yield. And you would have your percent here, which is probably going to be somewhere around 5% by the time we're done. And that overall yield is calculated by taking the percent yield for the benzoin. Dividing it by 100. Multiplying that by the percent yield for the benzyl. Dividing that by 100. So you're using the decimal equivalents of each one of these, and you're multiplying the decimal equivalents of each one of these. And then after doing that, you multiply the whole thing by 100. And that gives you your percent overall. Over all the steps. And then what you want to do, so that's your table, or the one way to produce the table. After you've got the table, you want a paragraph then for each material that gives the results in paragraph form. If you want to, you can split this table up into a number of different tables. You can break the IR off and do a separate IR table if that makes more sense for you. There's no right or wrong here in terms of how you want to organize it. And in addition to this, what I would do is you can include a physical description of the material. So that would be the results section. And then I think the discussion section is the one that I want to sort of hit the most and give you an idea of what I want this to look like. So let's do an outline for the discussion section. Dude, no. No, come here. Get up here. Come on. Relax. It's okay. I know, it's just so stressful. It's so hard when they're here. They just invade your territory, and it's just, yeah, it's. He needs a little doggy Ativan, is what he needs. I know, it's just stressful. It's okay. All right, so the discussion outline, what we want to do here is we want to deal with the mechanism of each of the reactions. But what I would do is I would treat each reaction individually. So I would start with benzoin, and then I would go to benzyl, and then I would go to benzylic acid, and I would do it that way. So we're going to break this down. Break down by mechanism or by reaction, let's say. Start with the mechanism first. Then characterization. Then move into the next reaction. So you kind of go in that pattern. The way I want you to talk about the mechanism is very specific. So let's take a quick look at the beginning mechanism for the benzoin synthesis and then show how I want to break that down. In the benzoin mechanism, what we did is we had the thiamine hydrochloride You can use it in its abbreviated form. You don't need to draw out the whole thing. That's not where that positive charge goes. The first step that we had was the deprotonation step. That then makes the ILID. The ILID then attacks the benzaldehyde. We get the new carbon-carbon bond. From there, we pick up a proton. This is as much as I'm going to do. This is my last step. I'm going to draw, and then we'll start talking about how I want to break these down. And so the mechanism is this big, long thing. And if you try to, write about it in this format, you're going to have a hard time. It's too big. There's too much going on. And it's hard to track and follow. And you're going to lose your reader. Your reader's not going to be able to track what's going on either. And so what we do is we take these and we break them up into steps. And we say, okay, this here, this is step one. And then starting at this point, and this guy, this is step two. And then we have step three. And so we have each of these different steps that we're going to take and talk about. And we will break it up into steps and we will present the individual steps. Phone was blowing up with your classmates all on Discord discussing which problem got reversed in the co-op and trying to figure out the right one to do. I think they have it sorted out. I'll check in with them later. All right, so what we do then is we take and we break this up into these steps and we talk about it this way. This is how we present it. Let's say that the formation of benzoin from benzaldehyde is catalyzed by thiamine hydrochloride. This would be sort of like our opening statement. Is catalyzed by thiamine hydrochloride. Then we would say something like the first step in this reaction is the deprotonation of thiamine hydrochloride by hydroxide ion. Or the reaction starts, however you want to word it. And then what we would do is we would show that step. And from there, this is figure either one or two, depending if you did other figures.
On the note of the figures, Jason, so I kind of did this for the first report and broke it up like this. Yeah, so the caption, that's what my question was. It's kind of redundant, but I did just kind of like restate the mechanistic step. Is that what you wanted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, deprotonation of thiamine hydrochloride. Yes, that's what I want. I want a caption that goes there that is descriptive of what is actually being demonstrated. And then the next paragraph should address why the step takes place. So this is a critical component. We would say something to the effect that thiamine hydrochloride is deprotonated at the carbon between the nitrogen and the sulfur, or you could use numbering and you could do it that way. But thiamine hydrochloride is deprotonated at the carbon between the nitrogen and sulfur. No. The resulting anion is stabilized by the adjacent nitrogen cation forming an ilid. The ilid is a carbon nucleophile and proceeds to conduct a nucleophilic attack on the benzaldehyde. And then we go to the next step. I'm trying to write. Okay, so then we get into figure two. And we draw out that next step. That next step has our ilid. And our benzaldehyde. Pick an orientation and stick with it. so that you don't keep rotating things around. Try to keep everything aligned as much as possible. Attack, open up. You can even draw the partial positive and partial minus if that helps. You take it forward, you draw that adduct. And then this is figure two. And this one is maybe nucleophilic attack on benzaldehyde. Okay, so in this one then, you're explaining more and you go on to the next paragraph. And the next paragraph describes the why again. And so you may even want to add some things, or maybe not. Maybe you just talk about it in words, but this is your nucleophile. This is your electrophile. This is a strong electrophile because of the polarity of the carbonyl bond and the electronegativity of the oxygen. The carbon nucleophile makes a new carbon-carbon bond. The carbon-oxygen bond breaks, pushing the electrons up onto the oxygen, resulting in an alkoxide ion and a Zwitter ion. And a Zwitter ion is a molecule that has both a positive and a negative charge in the same molecule, but not adjacent to each other. So at one point in the molecule, it's got a positive and the other part has got a negative. The Zwitter ion is basically net neutral. But when we say net neutral, that doesn't mean that there's no charge. It just means that all the charges add to zero. That's what a Zwitter ion is. What are you doing? So we discussed that, and the next paragraph talks about why. So next paragraph here talks about the step mechanics. Mechanics being which bonds are being made, which bonds are being broken, where the charge is going, and the why. Why is it taking place? What is the electrophile? What is the nucleophile? How does all of that go together? And you walk through the entire process like that. When you get done, after you get through all of those steps and you get through the mechanism, then the next thing after the mechanism is that we go through the characterization paragraphs. In the characterization paragraphs, now we're looking at talking about the percent yield. Is it high or low? The why. Why is it low? If it is, what happened? How could it be improved? You've got your melting point. Does it correspond to literature value? Is it off from literature value? And then sort of the why. You have your FTIR. Here in your FTIR, you're comparing from the material that you started from and comparing the transformation. transformation from starting material. Compared to lit values. And then these guys should agree. Let's say that when I look at my FTIR, that the FTIR says, hey, there's still in my benzyl, there's a little bit of benzoin that's still in there. And if I'm seeing a little bit of benzoin, then the reaction didn't go to completion. And that would then act as an impurity within my melting point, and my melting point should be depressed and broad. So are these things agreeing in terms of what we're seeing? So you're sort of wrapping up with a comparison and making sure that these pieces of data are saying the same things, that they're not saying different things. You get through that, you move on to benzyl. And repeat the process. You go through mechanism, broken up into steps, characterization. Move on to benzylic acid. And then you have your conclusion. Your conclusion is a restatement of your abstract. It's just an affirmative, positive restatement of the results of the project. So it's sort of like restating the abstract, or restatement of the abstract and the major conclusions. Or major findings of the work. After that, you've got your separation schemes. These may be in the lab notes. So if you did them in the lab notes, don't reproduce them. I don't want you to have to reproduce work. So if they were already in the lab notes, they can stay there. You have the lab notes to attach. And then the last thing is your spectroscopy, like FTIR. So the spectroscopy, this also may be in the discussion as a figure. If you have a way to, well, let's put it this way. Normally, when you collect spectrum in the lab, we're printing it, and then you take a printed copy away. You don't have a digital form of that. I'm going to digitize it for you. So because I'm going to be giving you a digital spectrum, you can cut that, resize that, use that as a figure. You can integrate that into your discussion section when you're talking about the FTIR, and you can include it as a figure in there. So you don't have to actually just append it to the end as a figure at the end. So that'll make it a little bit easier for you guys. So you have either option, you could do either thing. And that's it. At that point, we're pretty much done. So I've given you an outline then of how to do each thing and an idea of how you construct these paragraphs and how you work to build out these paragraphs. So it's not as simple as we say, there's a nucleophilic attack and I write one sentence and then I move on to the next thing. There's always a way that you can talk about what's going on within the chemistry. Why this proton and not a proton up here? What is unique about this proton, the formation of the illid, the proximity of the positive charge and the negative charge, which helps to stabilize each other. The resonance that occurs with the sulfur and the ability to be able to extend into the d orbitals also helps to make that proton the more acidic proton, and is part of the catalytic nature of thiamine hydrochloride. And so there's all kinds of things that we can talk about that extend out this paragraph. Even for protonations and deprotonations, you can still usually find a way to make at least two or three sentences in the description of why it's taking place and what's taking place. Okay. So my idea here is that from the time that I give you the last video, I'd like to give you 2 weeks to write the report from the time that I give you the last video. I plan on getting the first two reactions up by the end of this weekend. The last reaction is probably not going to be up until the following week or into the following week. And so that means that about 3 weeks from now is my anticipated sort of due date for this. And I may even extend that a little bit more if it bumps up against the exam or gets in the way of the exam too much. So I don't want you doing both things at the same time.
Hey, Jason, sorry if I just missed that. My computer is just going to die. So I had to get the cord.
What I said was 2 weeks from the last lab that I put up. So I anticipate putting the benzyl and the benzoin up this weekend, and then the next week getting the benzylic acid up. From the time I put up the benzylic acid, 2 weeks after that, I'd like the formal report. But if it bumps into when we are scheduling our exam, then I'm going to want you guys to put your priority and your studying time into the exam. And then I'll push this back a little bit and give you some time after the exam to finish this up.
Okay. And then my last question is just that, are you going to have the Grignard reports back to us?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Cool. That was my big worry.
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I will work on getting those Grignards back. I probably won't get them back real quick, but within the next 2 weeks, I will get them back. And so you'll have them before this is due to use as a better guide and help to structure this. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Anything else you guys see that I may have missed or that you have questions about, or I tried to go over this in a little bit more detail, just to give you a better idea.
Do we just do one long references list, or do we also break that one up?
So with the references, you have the option of doing endnotes or footnotes. And I have always preferred footnotes over endnotes. That's kind of the way that why I have the margins set the way that I do to allow you to be able to use footnotes at the end of each page. But that's entirely up to you, how you want to do it. But the way that I do the footnotes, I've kind of showed you. If I were going to do a footnote in here, and I was going to talk about something about the stability of the illid, and maybe this was my reference that would be number one here, I would do a superscripted one at the end of the sentence. And then down at the bottom of that, I would have a one, and then I would have camera et al. And then the publication name and such, I mean, the whole reference. I showed you the styles. You guys have the styles in terms of, if I go back to here, not there, how do I do this? If we go back to formal report guidelines, and in here where I talk about references, what I do is I show how I would reference something, like the books with the superscripted one, journals. If there's more than one, you can gang them together, 2 A, B, C, if they're referencing the same thing or references for the same thing. Patents, web pages, and then I show you how I write them out using the ACS style guide, which the ACS style guide is a modified year. I can't remember what the description is. there's a certain formatting, and it's not any of the standard ones that they do in the humanities. Looking to see if it has. Yeah, it's the author date style. I'll put a plug in for this book too while we're here. This is the ACS style guide, the American Chemical Society style guide. If you're going on in the sciences, I don't care if it's chemistry, biology, what any of the sciences, this book is incredible for how to deal with information. Most of it is chemical in nature, but it talks about how to format images, how to handle technical data, how to write up that data, usage of languages, how to reference all the different types of references that you would ever want to do. It is just an outstanding book for anybody who's going to continue on and do a lot of writing in the sciences. And even I have little tabs in it that I've got stuck in here that just take me right to the reference pages for how to do different types of references. And I can't tell you how often it is that I actually reach for this, whether it's something that I'm writing, that I'm turning into as department chair, and I'm trying to get funding for something and I want to add references to it. And the minute I turn in something like that, everybody else in the humanities who just like wrote something and wrote some little page thing, and I've got all my references and documentation and everything, and it's like, boom, here, you get the money. And they're like, why does he get all the money? And I'm like, because I write like this. That's why I get all the money, because we're in the sciences and that's how we do it. That's how we roll around here. Anyway, this is an outstanding book. I highly recommend it. And I don't think it's a whole ton of money to pick that up. And you could get an older version of it too, because they have, you know, outdated versions you can probably find on Amazon. So I'm still screen sharing. This is that reference or formal written laboratory report guidelines. Much of what I just gave you is in here, except I gave you more detail on how I would actually break it up and break up the reaction schemes and the type of language that I'm looking for and the detail of each paragraph and what I'm looking for in each paragraph. So hopefully I've given you a much better idea of what it is that I'm looking for, where I want you to go with this. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm done. So if there's any other questions, I'm happy to entertain other questions. If you want to ask questions and you want to do it off camera and we want to stop the recording, I'm happy to do that. We can cut it here. I think I've done everything that I really wanted to do. So I'm going to go ahead and just end the recording, and then you guys can pepper me with questions, stay on the line, or move on to enjoying your weekend.
So how are those reports looking?
The ones that I haven't looked at yet?